Okay, let's begin. This is Daf Chet, sorry. Yeah, sorry. So today's Daf is Daf Chet, and we begin from where we left off. And that is Rava says B'Shem Rav Yehuda, Rav Zira says B'Shem Rav Ukva, Ein Mekadrin El Bechevel Shel Chamishim Amah. Now, if you remember when they measured the Tchum out for the city, how would they measure it out, the 2,000 Amot? And we learned about this in the Masechta Eruvin. Well, you don't have a tape that's worth 200. So they use chavalim, they use ropes of 50. Right? Because if it's too long, then it would sag. If it's too short, they might stretch it too much. So 50 was the amount. But we had this cooler, if you like, that when it comes to certain mountains, they were mikader. Meaning when you're measuring it, if you measure on an incline, the Pythagoras and the like, that if you measured all the way up the angle of the mountain, it's going to be shorter than if it was looking down from like Google Maps and doing a top-down view. Okay? So they would effectively measure the top-down view by being mikadrim. If you remember, as they climbed up a mountain, it depended on the angle of the mountain whether they do this, but someone would stand let's say at the bottom part of the incline and hold the rope to his chest. The person further up would hold it by his feet, and that way they'd have it sort of horizontal, and that's how they can measure the actual plane, the horizontal distance. So it says when it comes to that, when they would do Mekadrin, that would be the Hevel of Chamishim Amah. Now Rav Zira says B'Shem Rav Chista, Ein Mekadrin, this kula of being Mekadrin, because with being Mekader, you're actually getting more distance. That doesn't work with the Ari Levim or the Egla Arufa. So Ari Levim is what we've been talking about, and that is what's considered, because we said if you're within the Tchum of the city, then you are like the Kol Adam is protected. Now, this since this is a Din D'Oraisa, you can't have this kula, you can't start extending it further, and you have to measure the true distance along the ground, meaning as you go up, if it's a steep mountain near it, it's going to be less distance from the city. Okay? Ella modadin gam ha-madron, even the incline, you'd have to measure it truly. And also, Egla Arufa, that's when they're trying to, if again, that's a case where we find, this is back to Masechta Sota, I believe, that if the person's found dead on the roadside, we don't know what happened to him, who killed him, sorry. And you met the conference, the Sinai come to Yerushalayim, and measured the closest city, and to work out which city would be one to perform this whole process of Egla Arufa. That measuring also in Mekadrin. So Gemara says, okay, if you want to say you're Mekadrin for Eruvin, but not for Ari Miklat, then that only works according to one understanding. Because it's a machloket. When it says in the Torah, it talks about measuring from the Arei Sivi, Madotam Alpaimama, and there's also a Madotam Mikira Ir Chutza Elefama. You're talking about measuring out from the distance of the city, 1,000 or 2,000 mot. Different psukim, the sotah, they'd simply be a stira. And the opinion of the Gemara is, well, they might be talking about two different measurements. So one understanding is, according to the shita that says, well, 1,000 amah is from Migrash, and the other, when it says 2,000, we're talking about Tchum Shabbos. Okay, then you can explain, or you can understand how maybe for one you could be Mekader, another one you could not be Mekader. Because there's two different sources and they come with their own separate laws. However, Baram Kamanda Amar, actually, Eleph was Migrash Malpaim Musadot Okramim. The opinion that says, well, Eleph was for the Migrash was the expanse before the city. Because it's more beautiful for a city to have an empty expanse as you approach it, rather than being all congested. So as you approach it, you see that you have that expanse, empty space in front of the city, that's a Migrash. And Alpayim and the 2,000 reference with the Sadot Okramim. You remember there's a machloket Rashi Rambam in terms of if it was 2,000 from that or if it was like 2,000 from the city itself. So it was really only 1,000. That's a separate discussion. But going to that understanding, the whole 2,000 Amot was talking about what's around the city of the Levim. Where's the end of the city? Not Tchum-wise, where you've got the Migrash and you've got the Sadot Okramim. And then where do we learn Tchum Shabbos from? Klum lamdu Tchum Shabbos lo mitchum arei Levim. So the Tchum Shabbos then, the Din Chum, you're learning from the end of what's considered the end of the city of Levim. So the Migrash and the Kramim. So if Le'ikar en Mekadrim, let's fail the Mekadrim. If the Ikar, meaning where we're learning it from, in terms of the distances, how we calculate it, you don't Mekader, then how can you say when it comes to Tchum Shabbos, you calculate it differently? So once again, just to explain, we said the way the sugya flowed, we said you can Mekadrim for Eruvin, but not for Arei Levim. And the Gemara says, well, that makes sense if you say that the Eleph and Alpayim are talking about the Torah is referring to two different dinim. One is for the city and one is for the Tchum. So, okay, fine. So, one Pasuk has one set of laws attached to it, which is Mekader, another one doesn't. So, Tchum, yes. What's the Migrash of the city? That is, well, no. However, if you say that the Psukim all refer to what's the boundary of this Arei Levim, Migrash, and Kramim. And then where do we get this concept of Tchum Shabbos? You get it from the Tchum Levim. So if you're learning it from it, how that is measured must be exactly the same. So if the Eir Levim, you're not Mekadeh, then you wouldn't Mekadeh for Eir Tchum. Or if Eir Tchum, you're Mekadeh, then you would also for the Eir Levim. That's the way the Gemara explains it. Now, Minayim Shel Kovrim BeArei Levim. How do you know they wouldn't bury or have cemeteries inside the Arei Levim? So Rav Aval says, B'Shem Rav Yossi Ben Chanina, Umigresheim Yul Levim Tam. This is the open areas will be for their animals, Ul-Rukhusham, or their property, Ul-Chol Chayatam, and for their Chaya. Chayatam means, Lechayim Nitnu. It's given for the life, for them to live in that expanse of spaces, v'lo lekvuras. So that's why they wouldn't bury, part of the Arei Levim, you wouldn't have cemeteries. With that, we say, Adronach Perek Elo Golem, Adronach Perek Elo Golem, Adronach Perek Elo Golem. Now, the next Perek, there's actually no Gemara or Yerushalmi on it. We're basically going to go through to the end of Masechta. It's a long Perek in Makot on Mishnayos, and we're basically going to learn Mishnayos together. Okay, so I'll quote the Pnei Moshe as we go along every so often, just so it feels like we're still learning Yerushalmi, but we're basically going through this Mishnah. Now it says Elyon Elokim. Now it's interesting here in the Kati's introduction, he says that you get Malkus for a few different reasons. Well, first it's a lot Tase, but there's a subset of those is that if that one would be Chayv Karet if they did it deliberately. However, if they were warned by someone, do you realize who did this? You get Malkus and we'll give them Malkus. And that subset is only there's 21 of them. There's also those ones that are mitzvah shemaim that if someone's warned, they've got malkut. That's 18. And then there's, but the rest of them, all the other, let's call it simple lavim, are 168. Now, why am I telling this number? Because he says that altogether, the calculation is 207, which is the gematria of zar, which is strange. That's how you remember in your head how many lota says could someone potentially be chayv malkus for. That is gematria is zar. Okay, yeah. So now let's continue. So these few are those punishable by karet. Habala chotos, some relation with his sister. Bala chot aviv, his father, so his auntie. Bala chotimo, so either from his father or mother's side. Ala chot ishto, so his wife's sister. Bala eshet achiv, that's his brother's wife. Bala eshet achi aviv, so his uncle's wife. Bala nida as well. So all these things one could be chayv karet for. Alma la kohen gadol, and by the way, as opposed to like the other forbidden relationship would be the mitzvah baking we learned before. Alma kohen gadol grusha kohen hevyot. So almana kohen gadol is not allowed to marry a non-betula, a widow. A grusha and chalutza, a regular kohen are not allowed to marry. Now grusha is one to be chayav malchus from because that's his deraisa. So we've explained in the past that we come to a chalutza. Again, that's a woman who the process of chalitza has been performed with. In other words, her husband died without having any children, the brother didn't want to perform yibum, therefore the chalitza. A kohen hetyot is not allowed to marry her, but that's only midrabanan. So that's why you've got to be careful with this grusha and chalitza. Sometimes it's like agav, you always mention grusha and chalitza together, but really grusha is only makot deraita, and chalitza would be really makot mardo, meaning isudarabanan. Almana of a grusha, let's say a kohen gadol married an almana who is also a grusha. A widow and a divorcee together. Chayv anami, you'll be chayv two sets of malkut because there's shtei shemot, two different Yisurim in the Torah. Grusha v'chalutza, what if a regular kohen married a grusha who is also a chalutza? Well, eino chayv ela shem echad, eino chayv ela mishu shem echad belvalik, since only one of those prohibitions are of a deraita level, he's only chayv once. Let's continue. Now, HaTameh Shachalat HaKodesh, someone who is Tameh that eats from a korban, that is also punishable. It says, Lotigah, which is Azra for not to eat. That's where it's sort of learned from. Fine. Anyway, the Habala Mikdash Tameh, someone who enters the base Midrash in the state of Tumah, also. HaAchel Chelev V'dam, Chelev is a forbidden fats, Dam, Notar Pigul and Tameh. Notar is a korban that was left over the time that was meant to be eaten. Pigul is a korban that was shechted within mind. The person wanted to eat it after it's a lot of time or past the time was meant to do so. Now, even if it's consumed within the time, because he had that kavana intention, that makes a pigul and tameh if the korban is tameh. Hashochet ba'amaleh b'chutz, if someone shechts and offers a korban outside, that's also could be chayav malchus for. These are chayav karet. Ba'ochel chametz b'pesach, eats chametz on Pesach as well. Va'ochel v'ha'ma'as va'ochel va'oseh malacha b'yom kippurim isuri karet. These are this is someone who eats or does malach yom kippur u'mefatem at Hashem ofem sorry mefatem here is referring to if he makes the in his like uses the formula to make the Shemana Mishka or the Ketoret for himself. Vasachar, he takes the Shemana Mishka and puts it on himself. That's another Isurim. Hauchel never not trade for Shkatz v'ramim. These are all manners of creatures not la'it. Now, this is, let's call them Stam Nisrei Lavim. Just a dead animal that wasn't given a proper shechita. A treifas animal has some sort of anatomical problem that even if it's given a proper shechita, makes it not kosher. Shkatzim or ramatzim and the various teeming creatures, the ones are not allowed to eat. Achal tevel u'maaser rishon shelo nitrat umata. So tevel is untithed produce because the melo yichalel kodshi bnei Israel asher yarimu. What are the kodshim? What are the kodashim? Pei Moshe says that one has to laharim, remove things from. Well, that's talking about tevel. And also Maaser Rishon, if you remember, the first thing is taken out of Struma Gedolah given to a Kohen. The second, then the first tithe is Maaser Rishon given to a Levi. That still has the status of Tevel. If someone eats it, it would get Malkus, it's Mita B'nei Shemaim, unless, because why? He has to separate first, so Trumat Maaser from it and give it to a Kohen. Okay? That also has the name of Tevel. Umaaser Sheni, Vehekdesh Shelo Niftu. So importantly, we're talking about here, this is important to see in the Bnei Moshe, when it's talking about Maaser Sheni, he says, talk about Maaser Sheni Shenitma, Maaser Sheni that became Tameh, v'afilu even if he's in Yerushalayim, asu lo'ochlo, you cannot eat it until you put it. That's what Maaser Sheni means. We're going to compare that on the next time to something else. Another mention of Maaser Sheni, and Hektish, which has been redeemed, also Chayv Malkut. Kami ochel min ha'tevel, how much does someone eat tevel? What's the shear? Now, normally for something that's asur, he would say kezayit. However, in this situation, Rabbi Shimon Omer kolshu, even the smallest amount. Chachamim say all kazayit, like every other isur. So Amar Lam Rabbi Shimon says, I'll prove to you I'm right. Why? Einatim, don't you agree? The bochel nevela kolshu shu chayav. Now it's interesting here. The Gerus here is a nevela, but that's what got, that's what got in front of me at least. But the Gerus the Mishnah is nemela, or Yerushalmi Shvuos is a nemela, like an ant. So in that situation, we're talking about a full bria. That's the idea. When it comes to a bria, it doesn't have to be a shear. You can, if you eat it, you're chayv. So to here, what would be the difference? So amrullah mit neishu kbriyatzo. It says, no, it's different. The difference is because, as you pointed out, it's a bria, like it's a full creature. So amrullah afchita achad kbriyata. You can't you say the same thing by even a kernel? A kernel is also a full creature or creation or full entity, so also that should be chayav kosher if you want to eat that without when if it was tevel. Have the Chachamim disagree? They said a bria is only for like a moving creature, not for just anything organic.
Even so, a kol shehu could be half a chita.
Yeah, fair. So I think his point is that it is chayav for a kebriato, I think, if I'm not mistaken. I think. Okay, I think so. Let's continue. This is now halakha gimel. Ha'ochel bikurim. If someone eats bikurim, ad shelo kara alehem. So this is referring to bikurim, the first fruits. If you like the Shivat Aminim, they take it to Yerushalayim. If you remember, what happens is when they take it to Yerushalayim, before the Kohen can take it, they would do a kriya. They would read the parsha of Arami Oved Avi and also place it by the Mizbeach. So if someone, what the Gemara is saying, if someone eats from the Bikurim prior to the Kriya, then it'd be, again, Chayiv Malkut. So I just want to read here, this little piece here by the Pnei Moshe. He says, the parasha, as we say, is Arami Oved Avi, like we say on Saturday night with the extra pasuk. Aval, achar shekara lehem en lokeh, but that's the machlam, then it's over. Lefisha hen momon mam shalakon, because from that point on, it belongs to the Kohanim. That is the opinion of, however, Rabbi Akiva. Aval chachamim omrim, chachamim say differently. It says bikurim because when it comes to bikurim, hanacha me'akevet. What's the critical thing with bikurim? It's placing it down by the mizbeach. But the kriya, if you didn't have to happen to do kriya, it's not me'akev. So in other words, you can't say the critical point is kriya kol chachamim. It's a hanacha. V'achil bikurim achar hanachatan. If you ate from the bring after it's been placed down by azara, afal pi even if you didn't do the kriya, according to chachamim, it's not me'akev. Ain loke. So our mission is according to Rabbi Akiva and not according to the chachamim. Let's keep reading. What's truma referring to? That's bikurim. You see, many times a bikurim has a. It's, well, firstly, pretty much all the laws of bikurim are the same, which is a bittul and goes to the coin and chiyuv mita v'de shemayim for zara'itz and things like that. However, Sorry. However, so it's wrote to be the pasuk and says be grim. De ilu truma ino to in habat makom. It's referring to lo tochal b'sharecha because truma you can eat anywhere. So what's the so called truma that you can't eat in your place? That's referring to bikurim. However, the point I want to get to is bikurim nami ein lo kalem elim ken achlam achashru pnei yushalai. In other words, but nonetheless, bikurim mal could only apply if he ate them after it reached Yerushalayim, kodem place a bit before being placed down. So that's the window. It's not as soon as you pick from the tree that the prohibition applies. Sorry, the chiyuv malkut, I should say, applies. It is only in that window from when you reach Yerushalayim until hanacha. But achlam ain't okay, wouldn't get malkus. Okay, that's the obviously we'd have to open up a Gemara for the drashas behind this, but that's the point I just want to bring out. Let's continue. Next one is a kodesh kodeshim. If someone eats kodesh kodeshim outside chutz mikla'in, that is outside the azara, or kodesh kalim, which is like a korban shlamim and the like, or ma'aser sheni chutz l'chumah outside Yerushalayim, because they have to be eaten. That's also cases. And when it comes to Ma'aser Sheni, I'll just show you here. La'el, the Pnei Moshe again. La'el Tznan, we said Ma'aser Sheni nitch nit tamer shelo nifdu. Before we said the problem was if you eat Ma'aser Sheni that was tamer, that wasn't redeemed. That was inside your shrine. V'hacha Tznan, now we're talking about Ma'aser Sheni that is tahor. So I have to explain why we said Ma'aser Sheni in different places, and that explains it. And that was in outside the Chumah. Once again, V'davka Ashach Luchutz Lechumah, that's also only if it was in outside the Chumah, achar, after it was brought to Yerushalayim, Pnei Yerushalayim. That's when you get malchus. If someone eats maaser sheni outside before it's been brought to Yerushalayim, any lokei wouldn't get malchus. Why? Because it says the order of the psukim is that it has to be brought to for Hashem. And now you can't eat it in your sharim. So it seems to me the love that you get malchus for is only activated, if you like, after the pasuk before it has been. Being Mekayim, which is being brought to Yerushalayim. That's another diuk here, Matkaz Ma'aser Sheni. Let's continue. Hashuvah etzem b'pesach. If someone breaks the bone from the korban pesach, which is tahor, he gets malchus habayim. He gets 40 lashes, specifically if it is tahor. And aval hamotir, did I miss one? No. Aval hamotir v'shover b'tameh ein lo k'arabayim. If someone leaves over a korban the next day. Now we're talking about eating not of before, but if he just left a korban beyond the time it's meant to, or he breaks the bone of a korban that is tamer, even though it says etzem lo tishboru bo, the understanding is it's referring to a korban that is only if it is a kasher korban, not if it's already pasul and tamer. So if you break a bone from a korban pesach that was tamer, you wouldn't get malchus. Hanotel ema, but why is it when it comes to notar you're not chayev? Malchus, because that's the classic case of what's called the lav shenitek la'aser. Because now tell me al boker be'eshtisrofu. Since the Torah provides a remedy, a means for you to fix the situation, meaning yes, you should lift it over, but if you do, you gotta burn it. That's the classic case. You're not chayav malchus. So this is what gets interesting. I'm telling Malbanim, what if someone doesn't shoo away the mother bird, mitzvah shiloh and takes a mother bird? Is he chayav malchus? Rabbi Yehuda says, yep, chayav malchus. Lo kev enu mashalach. He doesn't send it away. Why? Because he understands when it says shaleach to shalach et ha'em, that's referring to prior, meaning make sure you do that before taking the eggs. But if you took the mother, he's immediately chayev. It's not a nitik la'aseh, as opposed to chachamim say no. Shalach ha'em is a nitik la'aseh. You've taken it. Okay, now shalach ha'em, and that's your lav shenitik la'aseh. So ze'akal, kol mitzvah belo taseh. Oh, by the way, important point that Pnei Moshe makes further down is that if he took the mother bird and then shechted it, so he wasn't able to make it nitek la'aseh, then he would be chayav malchus. So in other words, you need the nitek la'aseh in order to not be chayav malchus. But if you completely remove the capacity to be nitek la'aseh, you could be chayav malchus. That's an important deal here. Important point, sorry. And as it says, zeh klal kol mitzvah b'lo taseh shebukum la'aseh in chayavim alav, like I just explained. Hakorah korcha b'rosho, that's korah korcha met. He sort of makes it balds himself, pulls hair out ala met. V'amakif pe'ah, that's someone who cuts his payas off. Two sides, or v'ameshchit pe'atzeken. We're now talking about hashkacha, which is with a blade. He takes a blade to his face. These are all isurim in the Torah. Is chayiv malkut. V'asoret srita alamed, or if he cuts himself, as in the morning, he would also be chayiv. He would be chayiv malkus. Now, what if he cuts himself al chamesh mitim, or chamesh sritot, or Five shritot al met echad, he's chayv al kol echad ve'echad. He's chayv for every single one of them. Why is that? Again, the korbanei helps us out. Sorry, b'nei Moshe helps us out because the chiv v'seret lenefesh. There you go. Seret lenefesh means is a chiyuv for every single nefesh he's doing it for. And this is even if there's only one hatraya because it's able to mechayv to chayv many times. Let's continue. Al harosh shtayim echad mekam v'kam. So the 2 points on the rosh. He'd be chayv shtayim, meaning one. This is talking about the cutting off the payas, one here and one here, the payas, or however you define where the payas are, okay, with the bands, the areas, etc. And when it comes to zaken, there's five different places one could be chayv and can be chayv five different times. It says al zaken shtayim. Sorry, al zaken shtayim mikan v'chad milamata. Okay, exactly where they are. There's a debate exactly where that is. Rabbi Elazar says. If he took them all of in one go, he would only be chayiv once, as opposed to sounds like a chamim that it's actually no that he it's the two different places is chayiv shtayim even if he does it in one go, okay? Because again the Bnei Moshe explains when it comes to his position, it's one love in the Torah, and therefore it's like eating two kezaisim of chelev with one hatra'ah. Right? Yes, it might be its own shiur, like the different locations, but it's in one love, so that's its rationale. Okay. Fine, let's continue. It's also only chayev according to the Tanakama if he uses a blade to his face, because it has a lashon of hashchata. However, Balazar says, afilu liktu bel melaket, it's like when you pluck that with tweezers or a hitni. This is it's like a plane, so sort of like a knife. He takes it away without it, not a blade to himself. He would also still be chayav. That's a debate there. Now, this alachavav hakotev tovet kaka. This is referring to getting a tattoo. What would happen? They would first write with ink and then scratch it in. That's kind of how it tattooing works. It'll get into the skin. So, however, if he kata velo kiaka or kiaka velo kata, if you only do one of those two, ain't chayav. He wouldn't be chayav until he actually does a proper tattoo. Achich tovi kiaka b'diyo. Or uses ink or some sort of dye of some sort. B'chol devash or shem, anything that will make it permanent. Rabbi Shimon Yehuda says, "Meshum Rabbi Shimon, no enu chayv ad sheyichtov shem Hashem." The isun the Torah, according to him, is not getting a tattoo. The isun doraisa is only if you do shem Hashem. You tattooed shem Hashem. Sheneva k'tov ka'aka lo tinu machem. Well, ani Hashem, and in the words ani Hashem. And it's strange. I think there are people, famous people, even got the Shem Hashem tattooed on them. Things like that. It's bizarre, but it still happens. Let's continue. Not just tattoos still happen. They have some ways of fashion to do it. But I'm saying even Shem Hashem. So Nazir Shaya Shoteb b'Yayin Kol Hayom. Says Nazir was drinking wine all day. Einu Chayv Ela Achad. Meaning was warned, do not drink wine. And it says really, the Korban very importantly says. He's chayv once amashet shatach kedoch kedei dibor shatra. The person says, don't do any drinks immediately, and he keeps drinking. And it says afilu ayah lefanav kli. This is Pnei Moshe kli sheesh bo kama riviot yain. It could be like he drinks a whole bottle down. Ramalot to see this nazir who's not allowed to drink wine. It says al tishtek kli zeh sheesh. It's a full stop. Sorry. Full stop. The imayu. Sorry. This is the proviso. And if I were to have a large bottle, and he said, don't drink this bottle, because I know how much is in there, and I know that it has this many reviot, then you'd get, and because of that, you would each shear, you'd receive certain the amount of sets of malkot. Let's say it was a liter, which let's call a reviot. What do we say? Be 150 mil. So let's say it was a 1.5 liter bottle, and it was how much are bottles nowadays? I don't know, 750 normally or something. Anyway, calculate any kaksam review in it, then he would be chayev multiple times. Chava kol shir b'shir, even though he didn't give one hatra. That's again another provisor or qualification that Pnei Moshe brings. However, let's just continue this Mishnah. However, amrulu altishte v'ushote. However, if he gives him hatraya and he drinks hatra and if he drinks. Every hatraya he brings, and the person drinks a shir, that nazir would be chayv malkut every single one. Okay, in this Mishnah, it breaks it up, so I guess we can continue from here. Metz Hashem, next year, we will finish the perek of and Masechta Makot.